Alrighty.
You can hear that delay.
It's so good.
Oh my god.
Discord is a fucking trash fire.
We cannot clap together no matter what.
There's almost like up to a second of latency in some cases. Like, oh, anyway.
Hi everybody, welcome to Corrupted Data and us talking about how we're uncoordinated.
Perfect. Nailed it.
That's it, I got it. Sean, you did it. You gave us the cold open.
I gave you the goddamn cold open. Speaking of which, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Sean. With me is Sebastian.
Hey.
And Kiwi.
Hi.
I guess we'll go straight into it. So
I'm enjoying the level that we've actually maintained of our energy so far in this, in that we have none.
Yeah. It's been a long couple of weeks for I think all of us in general.
It's great. It's titillating radio, really, if we're talking about it. Just dead air and then people complaining about things.
Our non-existent listeners are on the edge of their seats right now, okay?
Listen, just because no one's cut together an episode yet doesn't mean we don't have listeners. I'm loud enough that everyone can hear me.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure
people can hear me eating pizza from space, apparently. So
yeah, don't record that.
Pizza from space. New band name, I called it.
Good.
Yes.
Wonderful. Oh, well, you know what goes really well with pizza is some goddamn coffee.
Daenerys Targaryen and her Starbucks.
Oh, my God. V and I were watching that. And here's the thing. So we record these on Tuesdays. I didn't get to watch the episode until last night. Because my primary partner and I watch certain shows together. It came out Sunday. She was out on a date with her boyfriend. And so I didn't watch it when it came out. I watched it the next night. And by morning the next day, I had already seen I don't know how many different memes and stuff about this coffee cup. So now, she had not seen all this, so I'm like, when we started watching the episode, I'm like, yeah, just keep an eye out. There's going to be a fucking coffee cup, and I want to see where this is. And she goes, there's going to be a what now? And she's like, how the hell does that even happen? It's HBO. I'm like, I've worked in the movie industry. That shit can happen. I mean, there are actually a bunch of continuity errors throughout the episodes of, through the seasons of Game of Thrones.
Oh, of course.
There's been a couple, like, someone had, like, a charging cable, and then, like, I think, what was it, season 5 or 6 during, like, one of the main battles, Jon Snow gets onto his horse, and his sword just flops around because it's obviously goddamn rubber.
Yeah.
Like, just little shit like that, and, like, those for some, I guess, for maybe not so much the untrained eye, but those things are sometimes a little easier to miss than an actual goddamn Starbucks cop just sitting on the table in the middle of the goddamn scene.
Yeah.
There's actually an official statement stating that it was not Starbucks. I didn't read enough into the article or whatever.
What was
post.
It? Wawa?
I don't know, but apparently they made an official statement declaring that it was not Starbucks. I don't know much more past that. That's what they had said.
So my question is, did they misspell Khaleesi on the cup?
Well, if they got it right, then it wasn't Starbucks. Is that
yeah, no, that's the only way to tell. It's the only way to tell.
Oh god, I pity whatever barista got, like, Daenerys Targaryen, Khaleesi of whatever, Stormborn, all the whole. I can't even do
my name is Sean, and I've done literally no research into this material.
No, I just can't. I just can't remember it. Like,
Mother
I literally just
dragons.
Can't remember.
Dragons. Yeah.
Roar. I can. Both my first name and my last name add up to a total of, I think, 10 letters. No, not even 9.
That's cute.
I have problems spelling that. Yeah, I know. Yours is like the alphabet by itself.
I'm afraid to say it. We're not going to
we're not going to say any of those.
As you should. You should fear my name.
I don't fear your name. I just fear mispronouncing it.
Yep, because that's literally an invitation to get fucked in the mouth, apparently.
Whether you pronounce it correctly or not, it's going to get bleeped.
Which is fine. It's going to take a while to bleep it.
I just use the AOL logon.
You might as well use like. Again.
Can we? Can we though? Can we actually just use that whenever we want to censor something? Just play the
yes.
Just that's modem yeah. static.
I used it on the last episode, so yes, perfect. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, I can't wait to hear us.
So wait, going back to Game of Thrones, apparently there was a whole bunch of Total War nerds that were going insane over the Battle of Winterfell. So they went through and they were just like, look at how stupid they were. Look, I'm going to recreate the whole battle in Total War here and see that this is what I would have done.
Are you talking about Total War, what, the video game?
Yeah, the video game, Total War 2. They used Total War 2 Warhammer. Specifically, because they had an undead legion.
Huh.
Yeah, so the people were recreating the Battle of Winterfell and being like, HBO is so stupid, Jon Snow is not a, you know, like, oh my god, people got really into it.
My main complaint about the way that they've done the episodes so far is that they took the effort to make funeral pyres for all of the people. But they didn't make a funeral pyre for the literal every dead body north of the wall. Literally every dead body north of the wall was there. Millions of dead bodies. And there were like 14 yeah. people left in the castle.
I you know, I'm not going to worry too much about spoilers for two reasons. One, our listener base right now is probably close to zero, if not negative numbers. Two, till anyone actually listens to this, it's going to be at least a week or two after. So whatever. Does that mean, because we all saw it? Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So does that mean Arya's body count at this point is like the highest in the entire show? Because if you think about it, that was that last scene. What Arya did pretty much killed everything on the battlefield that wasn't human. Like any of the reanimated corpses were just gone.
So here's my problem with that. Those bodies were already someone else's body count. So like my team gets killed and then gets resurrected on your team. Do you then get points for killing your own people who are on my team now?
Yes. I guess so.
I will grant you that it is sort of like the cheap end of the, well, I am going to go up against the one master big baddie, and that's where I'm going to get all of my points from. You know? Yeah. Like I'll grant you that, but
very anime kind of style.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because that was absolutely a, you know, one hit. No, I mean, in fairness, she had a lot of her own body count
leading up
in
to
that battle alone.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I mean, she was easily one of the most, if not the most badass character during the whole fucking Battle of Winterfell.
Oh, totally. I highly recommend, if anyone wants to get into martial arts, being abducted by the Faceless Men apparently works really well. For self-defense?
Just get abused.
I feel like it's a lot cheaper, too.
Because,
like, Krav Maga around here is, like, $180 a month, and that doesn't even involve, like, any of the weapon play.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds expensive.
That's incredibly expensive.
It ain't cheap.
Yeah, no. So, actually, there was another thing that I wanted to talk about with you guys. So I want to know what you guys' thoughts on the gaming industry right now as a whole. So, you know, there's been a lot of changes, you know, over the courses of our lives in terms of, like, what video games were, what they are now, and, you know, what are they continuing to grow into be? And, you know, along with that is the people who, you know, what the work industry looks like, the people who are making them and how they're working. You know, something that I hadn't thought of, like, you know, we've all been talking about crunch time. You know, for the last few years and being like, oh, yeah, the game's almost out. Got to crunch. But it's not really occurring to me that we're doing live service games. And that's leading to a constant crunch.
I mean, partially going back to, like, Game of Thrones and, like, the new Sonic movie. crunch is very much a thing. And, I mean, when I worked in the movie industry, like, I worked on a very low end. I worked on, like, you know, a couple of independent movies and some pilots for some. I worked with a lot of the guys from Jackass, actually, but they were for reality shows. Like, that was all independent stuff, so I didn't even get hit that hard. But I knew people working in the industry that just... the crunch is, like, a major goddamn thing. And that's where I was going with, like, some of the Game of Thrones, like, the continuity errors. That's probably how that got missed, is just, you know, they're doing these big episodes, it's a big thing. And then the same thing with Sonic. Like, when rightfully so, the fans came and went, yeah, this design is bullshit. What are you trying to pawn off on us?
Yeah.
Do it better. What worries me, I'm all for that. I'm all for the fans going, yeah, this is fucked up. And for the company actually going, yeah, you know what? You're right. This isn't how this should be. I don't know what we were thinking. What worries me now is the artists, the CG artists, that have to go in and now crunch, because you know they're going to try and release that movie on the original release date. So now they got to rush and put in all this extra time and all this extra effort with probably very little pay. And that's to fix the design for the original release, because they should push the release back. But I haven't seen a single thing about that. And that's one of the things that's been happening with the gaming industry. It's the same exact thing. You know, just with the you're right, as a games as a service, there's a lot more crunch than there was 15, 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, you're constantly crunching, because it's the only way you're able to push out content at the demands that people are expecting. You know, it's constant work.
You also get into EA.
Oh, my God.
EA and Activision, where, you know, they have yearly games almost now, like the Call of Duty series, the Assassin's Creed series. I'm sure I'm completely blanking on probably five other games that are like, yeah, they aim for one every year or so.
Oh, totally. And, like, they were Epic Games back in the heyday before Fortnite, when they were putting out decent games. Like, all the Unreal tournaments, started getting annual releases like Madden, and you were getting mm-hmm. Unreal Tournament, you know, 2013, 2012, 2011, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's yeah. the same game. They just added a little bit of content and saying, like, oh, we upscaled the characters a little bit. It's still multiplayer arena, and yeah. it's the same exact game that you bought last year, but it's $40.
You bring up a good point. You bring up a good point with, like, things like Madden, FIFA, NBA... 2K, whatever, Call of Duty, a lot of them, and they some of the games started taking flack for this. Like Madden, for instance, they'd update a couple of the player names or player models, and really people would go back and spend $60 on literally the same game they bought 8, 10 months, 12 months ago.
Oh, totally.
And the problem is people go out and do actually buy that, and because in some cases it's just, well, it's the name and it's the new hot game, and it's really the same game.
I mean, though, what I've noticed, the people that buy those games, like, those are the people that have three games on their shelf and with their Xbox.
Oh yeah, it's Madden, it's NBA, it's 2K whatever, and it's Call of Duty.
Right.
Like, you're not wrong. They market to a very specific set of gamers that, you know, it's one of those, and admittedly they do it because it sells. It sells absolutely. Because there are people out there that are willing to buy it every year. I mean, to
it's
an extent, the same thing with Assassin's
profit.
Creed.
Absolutely, yeah, pure profit.
Just about, yeah.
And if they're using that to subsidize good game development for everybody else, that'd be great. But they're not. They're putting that and turning that into pocket money for their executives and their shareholders. And then they're turning around and saying, you know, oh, we've made record profits on our new releases, and now we're going to, you know, let go 300 employees and crazy shit like that, which is wild.
Yeah. Which literally just happened. Actually, and I think now this is a little different. I mean, I know there's a lot of call to unionize the video games industry. Along that line, you guys heard about the Riot Games walkout yesterday,
yes, I did.
Right?
I heard about it. I don't know anything about it, so please regale me.
So Riot Games does, I think it's, what is it, League of Legends? Right. So there have been a lot of accusations and a lot of problems that have come out recently.
It's not recently. It's only hit the news recently. People have known
about it.
Well,
no, I mean,
it came
out recently, but it's been happening for years, apparently. Just a lot of, like, rampant, like, sexism and, you know, borderline, like, borderline abuse, basically. especially revolving around the female developers there. And that all came out a few months ago. And then since then, the walkout was actually based around, you know, after all of those accusations coming out, and Riot basically just going, oh, well, yeah, this was no big deal and blah, blah, blah. One of the big problems they had was now they are actively silencing people who have those problems. Like, I forget what the exact issue is, but they were basically like, it's like you're not allowed to hire, you're not allowed to bring up complaints, you're not allowed to like go talk to a lawyer. If you do, you're fine. Like that sort of active suppression stuff.
Yeah.
And they a lot of the developers there literally scheduled a walkout and walked out yesterday. And I have to look up the exact number, but like they got up and left. They did basically a strike. I don't know if it was just they walked out and they don't work there anymore. I think they just basically went on strike.
Yeah, that's generally how a walkout works.
Yeah.
They didn't quit. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and again, this is not news to a lot of people. This has just never made it to the news cycle for mass consumption. Everybody knows mm-hmm. about these problems. Everyone has a friend in the industry who has seen these problems, knows about these problems, has dealt with these problems. And it's not just video games, of course, but it's very obvious in the video games industry, especially...
Yeah. A lot of the tech industries in general, video games being one mm-hmm. of them, yeah, there's a lot of that old boys club.
Yeah, and like sort of coming down from shit like Gamersgate, which was wild when that was happening, and it still to this day confuses the shit out of me how that got where it went. And it's very obvious to see where this kind of behavior and mentality comes from when you don't actively get punished for your terrible thoughts and deeds, mm-hmm. and in fact people turn around and support you loudly, and then it becomes the culture of the company, it becomes the culture of everything. And then, of course, you're not going to change. It'll be so much easier and cheaper to just get rid of the people who complain about it.
Yeah. I have some of the... Actually, it's I have a number. About over 150 Riot employees walked out to protest the forced arbitration and sexist culture, mm-hmm. which was a lot of the big, like, you know, like ass slapping. Like, I'm sorry. It's not 1950. You can't get away with that shit anymore.
No.
Like, you can't.
So my office had a mandatory sexual harassment video that we all had to watch. And then there was like a training process. You answer these questions, blah, blah, blah. And for the life of me, I was watching these little, you know, vignettes of the examples. And then, like, you know, here's like a 10-second video. Now, you know, here's a question like, what did he do wrong? And then it's like, you know, oh, executives shouldn't show their penises to employees, like shit like that. And it's like, over the top, obvious, don't do these mm-hmm. things. And I'm watching this going, no one needs this. No one needs this education. No one needs to know that you don't walk into a room with your pants around your ankles going, look at my dick! Like, that's, you shouldn't ever think that that's okay to do. It's wild to me that this is part of this training. And then I hear stories like this, where it's like, literally, you know, ass slapping, pinching, making rude mm-hmm. comments, you know, asking for sexual favors outright. Like, when did the subtlety go out of it? Where it was like, I thought I was going to be like trying to solve some sort of weird murder mystery where, like, you know, piece the clues together. Oh, looks like it was sexual harassment, as opposed to like, you know, hello there, young lady, I would like to sexually harass you, and then get started. Like, fucking wild.
Put it on letterhead. Like.
Exactly. Like, I was actually disturbed by the fact that all of this in the training ended up being so accurate to those similar charges, to be like, do people think that that's okay? Like, who are these fucking people? What the fuck is going on? Like, it just did not register in my brain that that's how people acted, because in my life, like, that's not how people act.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, I actually we just had sexual harassment training too, and it was actually one of the better ones I finally had. But it was funny because my boss, who I had a complaint against, mind you.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah,
oh,
no, I had that whole thing with my boss. I finally came forward and it got handled, and he and I are quote unquote buddies now or whatever.
oh, you know. Lord.
Something like that. As much of a as much of a buddy you can be to someone who's a consistent liar and manipulator, but that's besides the point. It was actually really good. I was really quite happy with it. It definitely talked a lot about different subtleties, because it wasn't just like, as you stated before, where it's just like, taking my dick out, don't do that. They were like, hey, just because people are laughing doesn't mean you're funny. You can still be a sexually harassing jerk. And I was like, oh, all right, cool. got it. We got a little nuance. And then people were talking together about it. And like, everyone was, because they were so scandaled. The old woman in the corner was like, I can't talk to anyone anymore because I call people honey and sweetie and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm like, holy crap, you missed the point, lady.
Yeah.
That's the entire point.
Well, the company that I work for is based out of the country, and I found out from one of our other employees from outside of the U.S. that came to cover for one of our employees, they don't have the sexual harassment training in the HQ location, because it's not part of their HR process, because they have a different HR department. And like, the harassment in general was not part of the curriculum that was necessary. So one of the curation and quality control workers was telling me a story about how, like, her direct supervisor, like, she's black, and one of her direct supervisors, along with one of the HR people, would routinely, like, touch her hair and, like, give her back rubs and make comments about her ass. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? What the shit's going on? Like, I thought we were supposed to be the weird, crazy shit. Like, everything's sexual harassment here. But it's like, no, it's totally acceptable over there. And it shouldn't be, which is first and foremost. But also, like, how is that not part of the training? Like, that's they don't have to do the training? What's going on right now?
It sounds like they could benefit from
it. Oh, absolutely.
What the fuck?
A couple heads need to roll is really what needs to happen. That's how that works.
And she was telling me about it, and I'm like, this can't be. Who does this shit? Like, who the fuck goes up to people, makes comments about their ass, gives them a back rub, and touches their hair? Like, I don't give a shit.
Frat boys, mostly.
There are no frat boys there. It's another country. They have different things. They have wine and cheese. It's crazy.
No, they still have men, dude.
It's true. And men are trash. And Facebook can't do anything about me saying it on my own podcast.
You heard it here first.
Breaking news. Men are trash.
No, duh. Speaking of trash, how about Apex Legends going mobile?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I was about to fight you on that one, because I really do like Apex Legends, but then you said the word mobile.
Yeah.
And I kind of have to agree. I will say that I don't like mobile games. I believe they are valid as gaming. I believe you are still a gamer if you play exclusively mobile games. That is not a problem. Like, I'm not going to get, like, gatekeepery on that sort of shit. Like, no, like, yeah, if that's something you enjoy, great. More power to you. Enjoy it. That's awesome. I just think in a lot of cases, those games, a lot of the games companies that put those out, they're actively putting out junk.
Totally. And especially games that are like action shooters, first-person shooters. Like, when they put out Minecraft Mobile, I was like, as long as you have a phone that can run it, I don't see a problem with this. But then they started putting out, like, visually intense action, quick action shooters. And I'm like, you can't possibly play this game on a handheld device with no controller, no mouse, no nothing. Do it well. Enjoy yourself. Like, nothing about this seems enjoyable. It seems so forced and stupid.
Well, I think a lot of them just end up being money grabs.
Oh,
like,
totally.
How many PUBG clones are there? I'm not even saying, like, PUBG itself. Like, if the developer, and I don't remember if the developers did put a actual PUBG mobile app.
Yes,
I think
they did.
But I think they finally did, mostly because there were so many companies putting out PUBG-like clones and basically all but calling them PUBG.
Yeah. One of them went ahead and surpassed them in sales and called themselves Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong. But and then the other problem with that is in some cases people were complaining because I don't remember if it was PUBG or Fortnite, but they weren't locked to the mobile only platform. They were playing against people on PC and console.
Oh yeah.
And then just getting wrecked because that kind of input is not really well suited. And I'm not going to say that someone could not get good at that input and just wreck face against someone on a PC. I believe that's entirely possible.
They had that problem when they had a cross platform release on, I forget what game it was.
I think I know which one you're talking about too. I'm trying to remember what it was. Shit.
It was a first person shooter. It might have been Halo or one of the Halos. But anyway, they did accidentally cross platformed. And they know they accidentally did because everyone was killing the shit out of the console gamers. The worst PC gamers were trouncing the best console players. It was no match whatsoever. It was embarrassing and just demoralizing.
That's why I'm not looking, like, you know, people were like, "God, we want Destiny to be cross-platform." I'm like, that's not going to be good for that game, because while I don't really care about it, the PvP element is huge for some people.
I disagree with you. I think for that game, it could be very good for PvE.
Right, but
for PvP, I think that's asking for problems.
Yeah, but you can't segment those. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, PvP in Destiny is entirely optional.
It is, yeah.
It is entirely optional, but, like, you know, the people that do play, like, you're gonna get massive backlash. You're gonna get, I mean, I don't even know how Fortnite's handled it. You know what I mean? They do Switch, Xbox, PS4, and PC, right?
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't even know. I want to know how anyone actually wins. I mean, it must be just RNG at that point.
I mean, the only cross-platform game that I currently own is Crashlands.
Do you have, what was the car soccer one? It's
Rocket League.
Rocket League. The name completely eluded me for a second. That's been cross-platform. That was one of the first cross-platform games that were allowed on Sony. Like, because they just got bullied by the company who makes it. And they're like, no, well, you just do it.
Hmm. I actually don't know if I have
cross platform for a while. Oh, I thought you did.
I might. I have a lot of games. I routinely embarrass myself when I run the algorithm to see how much money worth of games I own on Steam and how much I actually play. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe when you actually hit that button, it's get disappointed in your life or something like that. That's actually the wording on the button.
Yep.
And it tells you how much you spent at the high end, the low end, and basically what kind of like the even out, because they I think the algorithm does look at when you bought it, so if it was on sale.
Yep.
So like your library is worth a certain value, but you spent a certain amount between the sales and, you know, keys and all
the
stuff.
And then it tells you the amount of money that you spent on games that you haven't played or played less than an hour on.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it hurts my soul.
Yeah.
They don't make the with cross platform, they're just games that should be. You know, like, the ones that should be cross-platform, the ones that are designed to play a controller. Truly, honestly, like, optimally played on a controller. Not just, oh, can you play it like all these shooters out there? I'm forever biased against dual analog and FPSs or third-person shooters or anything like that. But, like, I never get the games that, like, would be fun to play with my friends who may have bought it on a different console, you know? I think that some of them are starting to come around on it. Monster Hunter will never do that. You know, I've got a friend who's got Monster Hunter on the PS4, and it's like, I'm getting into it. Or, like, you know, getting into it and then being like, oh, hey, oh. He's like, I'm not going to start my progress over, or I'm not going to spend another $60 and get a copy of the game on the same, you know, and neither of us are going to do that.
Right.
So it's like, you know, so there is a need for more cross-platform, but, like, the wrong games are doing it. Does that make
totally
any sense?
Totally. Absolutely.
Rocket League makes sense. If that's cross-platform, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100%. But still. Because, like, the metas shift based around the, you know, the controllers that you have available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, what, even in Destiny, it's like, oh, these are meta. Like, these stats are meta. And then you'd be like, oh, but for console users, these stats are meta. And like these,
we should probably explain that term for people who are listening to this that may not be like that. The meta is very much a PvP specific sort of mechanic. We probably want to give a quick rundown of what that exactly is. Just give it a TDLR.
Essentially, what meta stands for is the most optimal way, or what is the most popular and most optimal way to play the game. In terms of equipment, in terms of strategy, that's like what is the meta, and that's what is everybody doing? How are people trying to win the best or clear the fastest or do whatever it is you're doing? Because it's not even just limited to PvP. Because PvE, there's like, what are the meta setups for raids? You know, cooperative play.
Right.
You know, it's like
like a good example in Overwatch, the meta is normally a specific combination by a specific character. When it's specifically buffed before it gets nerfed by an update, because in a lot of cases it's exactly what happens. Like in Destiny 2, like some of the meta was sometimes shotguns in PvP, because you could do the slide and then shotgun and take a character out pretty easily, and then they nerfed certain shotguns and then it would switch it around. So the meta normally is whatever is working right then before the software company eventually just makes that sometimes overpowered combination of either player characters or weapons or whatever to a more, you know, brings it down to a more reasonable level in some cases, and then which changes the meta again, and then someone else finds another broken combination, or sometimes broken combination, sometimes it's just a very powerful one within the confines of what the developers actually intended.
And depending on what type of game that you're doing, sometimes they just change the meta to change the meta.
because it just gets into that sort of grindy, well, everyone's doing the same thing, so now it's just boring,
right? Yeah. League of Legends does that all the time. They're famous for just, you know, just being like, we're just gonna patch this. Why? Because I don't know, boredom.
We feel like, because it's Tuesday,
because it's patch day, we gotta patch something.
That's true, you gotta patch something on patch day.
God, what are you doing?
They should just patch out their shitty attitudes. Anyway,
can I just say we're 33 minutes into this and we have not once complained about Fallout yet, and I feel like we're falling behind.
we can complain about Anthem, because apparently I don't have the article, unfortunately. We try and do some, despite what it sounds like, we try to do some prep before we record.
Yeah, absolutely. Minutes things come go up. Into this.
Sometimes something will come up that we didn't get a chance, or some of us didn't get a chance to sometimes bring exactly what we were looking at or up earlier. I know a friend of mine was talking about how people on the development team or Anthem are like at this point walking out. Like they're leaving. Yeah. It's terrible.
They're also not releasing the total numbers of sales, which is absurdly like wild. Like,
well, that's not a red flag.
Not
at
even
all.
A little bit. Like, they just won't even give any numbers whatsoever. But it's they expected to sell 5 to 6 million, and if they're not even going to give a number, they didn't reach that by a long shot.
Oh God, no. I can tell you that I don't know if. I would have to imagine they have a way to track this. I have to assume that the two copies I got for free, because I bought when it comes down to it, the short end of this is I bought two computers with RTX 2080s. So they both came with Battlefield 5 and Anthem. So I have a copy and my partner has a copy that she has never played. NVIDIA was doing that particular giveaway for months. So I wonder how many people got that game for free, and if that is getting, if that does or does not get counted into, because it shouldn't. I don't think it should get counted into the overall sales for that. Because I've put in, I think, a grand total of, outside of the beta, an hour and a half. You know, on a game that I got for free. Did not spend a penny on it. So I don't know. Yeah, but their sales numbers would have to be abysmal, especially when they turn around and go, yeah, so it doesn't, we should, we're not going to bother telling you what we sold. It's,
yeah, I
it's not
to put it into perspective. I still have not played this game.
I would have played it if it was supposed to be any sort of good.
But I've played so many shitty BioWare games and so many good BioWare games at this point. I might have played it and just not filed that under information.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, here's the thing. I already own it. My partner already owns it. I'm going to talk her, like, I got to get her to actually set her account up and all that stuff and actually play it with her, because we co-opted through all of the Halos except for Halo 5, because I only have one Xbox One, and they didn't have couch co-op in that one. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But, you know, we played through both, well, all three of the Borderlands. We're going to pre-order Borderlands 3, despite it being an Epic exclusive, unfortunately. The two of us are too big
of
Borderlands fans not to pre-order it and buy, or at least buy it the day it comes out.
Yeah.
I may not pre-order it, but I'm definitely going to get it.
It'll go Steam and eventually.
In 6 months. Yeah, 6 months after. It's 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They already said that.
I might wait.
Yeah, totally up to you. I probably am not. But we, you know, we played through, but you know, Destiny 1, she hasn't played Destiny 2 yet, but I need to get her in Destiny 2. But like the two of us play games like that together a lot. It's nice because our play styles, work together. She is normally a more finesse sniper stealth. Like she plays like Maya. As far as Borderlands, she plays the sirens. Not necessarily because they're females, but because they have the powers she likes. I have a tendency to play more get in your face shotgun melee stuff, so it's nice because I can get in and just kind of tank and just distract, and she can pick them off from the side, which is really nice. So
you also look a lot like Salvatore.
I'm a lot taller than Salvatore.
You are two Salvatores in a trench coat
stacked on top of each other. Yes. It was more so when I had my mohawk, too. But, like, you know, we already have the game. We're not losing anything trying it out again. And I've said this before. I think I may have said it on the show, that Anthem very much has that early days of Destiny 1 feel. Where, or maybe Destiny 2.
Yeah, but
Where it was like in subsequent patches and subsequent fixing things and adding things and fine-tuning things and realizing that what they had envisioned for how they wanted this to work is not what the community wants. So now they're going to go and fix it more towards what the way the community is going. I will go back and I'll give it another shot and I'll give it time to evolve. I don't like that that's where these AAA titles are going.
There's no excuse for that anymore.
No.
There are plenty of good looter shooters that have solved the formula. Mm-hmm. Been like, yeah. What is good? What do you need? What do you need to have? So they can just go and look at the roadmap and be like, okay, we want to make our looter shooter. What are the good looter shooters? Well, they have this stuff and this stuff and this stuff and this stuff. Let's make sure we have that shit before we launch. Like,
So I disagree because I think a lot of that working towards a strict roadmap like that will definitely stifle creativity, because what will happen is you'll end up the same thing that now if you go on...
You'll end up with Madden.
Well, you'll end up like on any app store you want to go onto right now, and you look for an endless runner, you'll get the same game built on the same Unity engine programmed in 20 minutes with the same, you know, borrowed graphics from whatever the fuck.
Yeah, the same asset.
And it'll be a dollar sale, and everyone gets, you know, I'm going to sell, you know, 40 versions of this game, and I'm going to buy myself a pizza. Like, whatever. And there's millions of them, just literally millions of them. So for AAA games, I definitely don't like the idea that they're just going to find the formula that works and stick to it. I want them to innovate. They're charging upwards of $70 for a game, you know, $90, $100 for a collector's edition. You have an obligation to put that money into development. And I don't care what EA, I don't care what, you know, Activision, Blizzard, I don't care what any of them say. Their first and foremost job should be developing video games, not, you know, managing microtransactions and shit like that, which takes away so much from what they're actually trying to do, and that is produce a product for people to play. But, you know, what do I know? I work with boxes.
I mean, I mean, I agree with you. And I wasn't saying it necessarily so strict that they had to follow the formula. But, like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I think we get the idea that it's like, I think that may honestly be where some of these companies have fallen down, is that in a lot of cases they're trying to, you know, they're trying to make the same thing and then also reinvent the wheel with things that are already popular.
They're not even doing that because they don't even have half the crap. They've got empty games. They've got not enough content. You know what I mean? Like when they're launching the base game, like you can't just be like, "We're launching it," well, and then eventually it'll fuck. Like that's what they're doing. Like we know this already.
Using Anthem as an example, okay. As far as my Destiny comparison, Destiny and Anthem have a similar loot drop system, but the community was kind of having a big problem a couple weeks ago. I think it may have been about a month ago now, and I think they may have gone in and fixed it, but I'd have to go check. That a lot of more experienced players were doing their damnedest to only pick up the high-end stuff. Because unlike in Destiny, where you pick your inventory fills up, you can just go in and, this is all junk, I'll just break it down. They could only get rid of the items back at their hub city. So you would fill, if you screwed up and you filled your inventory with, say, like, I think the lowest level was like white or gray in Anthem, you have nothing to do. You can't drop it to pick up that orange or that purple or whatever their highest is until you go back to the hub city, which is a separate instance, and get rid of it there. So until you come back, it's not there anymore. So this is, you know, they had a loot system, and I don't know if this wasn't working the way they had intended, or they just didn't think that far ahead. And I have to lean towards the second one of they just didn't think that far ahead. Oh yeah, we have a loot system. We have tiered rare loot and stuff. Why would you want to empty out your inventory?
Yeah. Why would you want push to talk? Fucking Bethesda.
Yeah. God, yeah, yes. That was, oh my God, that was another one.
Todd Howard, you devil.
And somehow you managed to bring it right back. Anyway.
It's forever on my mind. I will never apologize for shit talking Fallout 76.
I mean, Fallout shaped my life. We'll always go back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll probably end up playing 76 again in a few months for like the hour, and then I'm gonna cry quietly into that $200 helmet I bought. Yeah.
When they release the game, it'll be fun.
Yeah. I'd love to play it when it's out of beta.
I'd love to play it when it's in beta. It was fucking great in beta.
Well, I mean, that being said, there are games in alpha and like Steam Greenlight and like perpetual alpha and beta that are better and more polished than that AAA title was or still is.
AAA like, piece I mean, of shit.
I mean, like Star Citizen is a good as an example. They are still in alpha. They've been in alpha for, what is it, 5 years now. That is still more polished. Now, admittedly, I think there's a lot more money in that one because they're up to, like, what, 25 or 30 million in production costs since the original Kickstarter. But it still feels more polished in alpha than Fallout 76 did on release day or even 2 months later.
I have not actually played Star Citizen, so I couldn't speak to it.
Yeah, neither have I.
I picked it up because I you guys know I'm a big fan of Elite Dangerous, and they're not necessarily the same game, but they have some of the same concepts. I had looked at it for I looked at Star Citizen for a couple of years, and finally, like a year or so ago, pulled the trigger. And it's likely dangerous. There is a learning curve, and I just didn't have the time frame to sit down and figure out that learning curve until I found out a couple of my other friends had been playing it. So I'm trying to play with them. But then again, especially lately, we've got like a squadron, and like there are a bunch of new updates in Elite. So I've been spending all of my free time with, you know, basically a screen strapped to my face, and I've been playing that in VR. And holy crap! But I'm going to be getting back to Star Citizen at some point soon.
Yeah, no, it looks super pretty.
Yeah, and I'm really kind of looking forward to the single player story game, Squadron 42, their single player mode that they're trying to put out. Mark Hamill is involved. Like, he plays a character in it. There are a couple of other actors that I recognized. One of them was from the Onion Knight from Game of Thrones. I don't even know who else is. Like, this is something I only just recently found out because I was looking at some gameplay footage for Squadron 42, some pre-alpha stuff. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, holy shit, that's Mark Hamill. Oh, wow, that's impressive. Like, it's just...
Well, you know, he came in off his Wing Commander chops.
I think you're exactly right. Like,
and who doesn't have fond memories of, you know, 320, 240 videos?
X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I loved those. Oh, man, I loved... I had... This is going to date me a bit. I had the freeware 2.5 floppy version, like the freeware, you know, you get a couple of levels. It had an advertisement on it. Every time you launch the game, there would be an advertisement for the 1995 Dodge Neon.
Wow.
And why I remember that specifically, I have no clue.
Clearly the advertising worked.
Apparently. They don't even make that car anymore. No. I remember it.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, they kind of do. It's the Dodge Dart now, but that's a whole other, it's a whole other thing.
hurts my heart when you age me like this, man. Unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. We talked about the screw ups on Game of Thrones, and that got fixed. We talked about some of the bullshit with. Right, let's go through the recap. Riot Games.
It was so long ago.
Video game crunch.
Who are you guys? Yeah. What happened? Where am I? Whose penis is this?
This isn't my beautiful life. Ah, we're back here again. All right.
Alrighty. And we still took some time to shit talk Bethesda.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a constant. Anyway.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Listen.
Thank you for watching.
With your earballs.
With your earballs, yes. Thank you for watching, everybody. Oh, we'll see you next time.
All right. This has been Corrupted Data. I've been Sean.
I'm still Sebastian.
I'm still Kiwi.
We will catch up with you later. Thank you.
Good fucking God.